This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. Cross on the Hill, Ed Sheeran. Lots of things to get to this morning. We'll get to the news in a second, but I'm happy to welcome back for a first time in a long time, because we thought he'd abandoned us, but he's been working hard. None other than, and I think a lot of people be very excited to have his return to CliffCentral.com. None other than, are you ready? Are you ready?
Oh.
Who do you think it is? It's Hi Rob. That's right. Hey, Hi Rob.
Yo,
how you doing, dude?
Yo, what's good? What's good?
What's happening, bro?
Good, man. I'm sorry I haven't called in for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I've been having like troubles getting up and just on the way to work. So it's been, Amsterdam's been hectic lately. Summer and that shit. And winter was a nightmare. I still listen every day.
You had us feeling like abandoned girlfriends.
I know.
Rob. Like, we took it personally a little bit.
I know. I was like, I felt bad. And then, like, you know when, like, you fucked up so much that you, like, don't want to call in. You know, like, you can't say anything now, so you just stay quiet.
So, dude, what's going on in Amsterdam? You said it's summer and there's lots of parties and stuff happening.
Oh, man.
I've seen some of your Instagram stuff.
I'm on the festival train right now. I mean, it's festivals every weekend. I'm booked up to the blocks.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like, you suffer in winter. This is the Amsterdam life. You suffer in winter. You get depressed. You consider moving away. And then that sun comes out. Then you book those festival tickets. And then it's every weekend. It's hard on, man. It's fucking hard. And it's like, it's party, dude. Everyone's out.
So what is there one out. Is there one this weekend?
No, dude. This weekend I'm taking a breather, dog. I've been on like a four-weekend bender.
Yeah.
And this weekend is my downtime. So it's 27 degrees on Saturday and Sunday in Amsterdam.
Wow.
Like, people are losing their shit.
So what do you guys do? Do you like lie out on the decks of these boats and the canals?
Dude, so surprisingly, I was on a beach party last weekend, and they have beaches. I mean, look, it's not quality. Like, the water looks like it's got fucking some diseases in it. But, like, you know, it's a beach.
Sure, okay.
I swim along the Amstel. There's, like, a cool chill spot that you can swim and, like, chill, and people play music, and boats come in and stop, and, like, you can go to, like, little bars along the canals. It's really cool. It's not beaches and stuff, but it's like what Amsterdamians do.
Are people people wearing hardly any clothing? Is there a lot of alcohol being passed?
Sundresses are out.
Yeah.
Riding around in bikinis. Like, I've got a sore neck because of, like, these. I don't even know where these chicks come from. They're just out. They're just looking beautiful. They've trained in winter. They got their summer bods ready, and I'm just like, what is going on? You know, it's crazy. It's like exciting.
All right, and lots and lots of drinking, and what kind of drugs are we trying out at the moment? What's the best? What's the
mainly
best
party
stuff?
Drugs? Hey, I'd say ecstasy and coke is a main thing, and there's also like MDMA, GHB, 4FMP. Like,
I just explain. I don't know what GHB and
4FMP.
Oh yeah,
GHB is like a day trade drug. So you basically,
Jesus.
I wouldn't advise it. It's not big in Cape Town. But you basically, it's like a liquid form, and it's basically a date rape drug. So you're drunk, but you're like in control. Well, I say in control, but that's a lie.
Hang on a second. Is it called GHD, like as in the hair?
No, GHB.
Oh, GHB.
G, like H and a B. I don't know. It's pretty dangerous shit. I don't dabble in that stuff too
often. Okay, and then the other one?
So the other one is called 4FMP.
Jesus.
That's also like... just mainly in Amsterdam. You don't get it in SA. That's like a more pure form of ecstasy.
Jeez.
But you take it in little doses.
Wow.
So, yeah, that takes you to planets beyond.
Rob, do you have like your recommended resellers on this? I mean, do you have certain people you've been tried and trusting with?
Yeah, no. So basically, like, I have my guys. But the thing is that Amsterdam people know what shit quality. So if you're dealing cut quality, you'll get shut down super quickly. So there's like a set standard. It's like it's like the banks. When all the banks come together and they change their prices, they all change their prices. When there's a new thing on the scene, they all have that same scene. You know, there's like some – they come together, dude, I'm telling you, because everyone's kind of got the same shit. No one's trying to be ballsy with this. I got this new Crypto X. And everyone's like, nah, dog, you don't have the Crypto X.
See, that's what
it's kind of regulated.
That's a mature country for you right there.
I know. It's like liberal like that shit, dude. No one's trying to pull wool over your eyes. Everyone's got same prices.
And also, whoever said that you can't maintain a high standard within your drugs? I mean,
exactly. You know. It's because you want people to come back, right? I mean, if you sold me a dodgy stash and I cook out at the fucking festival,
yeah,
now I've wasted my ticket, embarrassed myself, and now you expect me to come back? Nah, dude, you can go fuck yourself. Yeah. So
that's economics right there. That's first world economics.
You sold me exactly, a dodgy dude. Stash and I cook out the.
Yeah, like I've heard of bros in Cape Town, bro. They like get to the party, one hit, and there was vomiting in the corner. I mean, hello.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I came to party, not to be in the back of a hospital van. Tune me. So you know, it's just outrageous that they think you get away with this stuff. But you know, in Amsterdam, so regulated.
No, Rob. Yeah. When you're a professional golfer, you kind of know what your events are each season, and you tick off the ones you want to do. Is it very much like the festival season two,
or are you finding new ones? Exactly, dude. You have I call them the non-misses. That's festival.
Like
so cool that I would physically break in with my body to be at that festival. There's nothing stopping me, dude. People sold tickets. It becomes another market, dude. Like after sale tickets, like people pay double, triple. It's pretty fucking crazy out here. So you get your top festivals that you cannot miss. There's like four or five during the season. And then you get the ones like in between that you could miss, but you'd feel guilty. So you go anyway.
All right.
And that's like how it pretty much standardizes it. So
I
would say like there's like the Zorn. It was one of the beach just went. There's open airs coming up. That's going to be insane. So yeah, every weekend is something different, and everyone has their own different theme, different music. It's really cool. I mean, they just really put on a show, which is awesome.
So what's your what's the status at the moment? Single?
Dude, it's summer, bro. Single, foot loose, and fancy free. I'll be rolling. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to dial in here, dog.
Well, it looks pretty, to use your terms, it looks pretty lit on your Instagram. I'm a little jealous.
It's peachy out here, dog. Yeah. That's the new lit word. It's peachy out here.
I like that.
I'll be saying that it's peachy. Sun's out, you got a drink in your hand, and you're having a good time. And that's pretty much how it goes down here in the dam.
All right.
But yeah.
Robert, and then
how
are things coming on with your Dutch?
Yo, bro, I'm still back on square one, eh? I don't know. I just haven't had the time or the will to learn it. You know, I mean, everyone's just speaking English. I'm like, okay, I know some people who have tried, but they're just basically the same as me. They go out, they just speak English. Like, I mean, it's just, yeah, there's no pressure to learn it. So I haven't. I work for an English company. So, you know, I'm just living la vida, dude. If I was in Italy and like no one spoke English, I would have to. But yeah, everyone just speaks English. So I'm feeling pretty chilled.
Well,
it's like super liberal.
We like checking in on you, and it's always good to find out what's going on in Amsterdam. You make us very jealous, but yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'll call in more often, and I definitely will now. I've broken the ice, kind of be back together, you know. Yeah.
You don't have to worry. Right. No stress.
Okay, cool.
All right, bro.
But yeah, I'll chat to you. Have a good Friday. Where is it? It's the weekend, baby.
All right, we'll do that. Fine. I thought people were sick of it, but all right, fine.
No way, bro.
All right, dude.
Okay, cheers, boys.
Cool, man.
And golf. And the buddy.
Bye, Rob.
Yeah, all right, bye, Rob.
It's the weekend, baby!
All right, yes, absolutely. Hi, Rob from Amsterdam.
Just partying with purpose, eh?
That line.
Best way to party.
He's great.
Get a dodgy stash and end up cooking out at the festival. Jeez. That's a whole different language.
But it's so true. Like,
I love it.
Like, when you're in the business of partying, say you've got these festivals going on, you need to know the best drugs are going out there.
Sure.
You don't want people seeing other people cooking out.
Mm-mm.
Bad for business.
Mm-hmm. And it's to ruin your experience. No.
Totally.
You just want to be mellow.
Scare the kids away.
Right, exactly. Okay, stuff to do, things to talk about. There's news. Can I just get, because she was such a feature of our show for such a long time, I want to get this out of the way. Rachel Dolezal.
Mm. The white black woman.
See, I tried to get her for an interview when she came to South Africa to peddle her identity politics bullshit here.
All we ended up getting was her book.
Yeah, and we didn't read it.
I actually...
You did?
I still am. It's just... I read it and I have to roll my eyes so many times because she tries to justify who she is so much, but it just doesn't make sense at all. I just see someone who needs more medication, but anyway, that's just me.
Look.
Yeah. I see you made coffee for one this year.
I? Yes, Gareth, you were saying?
Dolezal, remember back in 2017, she's the woman who said that she identifies as black despite being Caucasian biologically.
Mm.
And she said, people didn't seem to be able to consider that maybe both were true, she said at the time. Okay, I was born to white parents, but maybe I had an authentic black identity. In addition to her autobiography, the one that Sia's talking about, Dolezal was the subject of a Netflix documentary, The Racial Divide, that premiered at New York's Tribeca Film Festival last month. Fox News reported that Dolezal had taken to Instagram to show the apparent success of her in-house hair salon business. She has a black hair salon.
Mm.
And seemingly there's some people who go there. Remember, she used to be the head of the NAACP chapter in Spokane. The NAACP is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. She's white. She's this. I cannot. Like, how can you deny your biology like this? It just drives me crazy.
She justifies it because she studied African history and she lived in a black community.
I get that. You know, people say you're a Francophile if you're not French, but you love the French and you love the French way of life and you love French art and French architecture and French history.
Doesn't mean you were born
they
French.
They call you a Francophile, but you're not a French person. You're not from France.
Yeah, you see, what we need to do is we need to get Rachel in together with those black people who would end up on the Ricky Lake talk show who insisted that they were white.
Remember that.
Like, we need to get all of them together, like, Ricky in a room Lake. And with, just listen to them talk.
But with a mental health practitioner, because things are going to get very ugly very quickly. Anyway, so she here's the story about her, because there's news. She has been hit with a felony theft charge in Washington after she allegedly made false statements so that she could secure $9,000 in food and child care assistance.
What?
It's welfare fraud, basically. According to court documents, investigators with Washington State's Department of Social and Health Services started looking into Dolezal's finances in March of last year. After she published her biography, or autobiography, they investigated and said Dolezal claimed her only source of income was $300 per month in gifts from friends. However, the department found she deposited nearly $84,000 in her bank account between August and September of last year without reporting it. According to the investigation, the money came from sales of her book, as well as the sale of her art, her soaps, and her handmade dolls.
Oh, yeah.
She makes dolls?
Yes.
she'd illegally received $8,747 in food assistance and $100 in child care assistance. I mean, she's basically just, you know, anything to get that free money. Rachel Dolezal.
It's quite interesting
what a fucking mess.
It's basically the same cycle she grew up in repeating itself, because what you also discover in her autobiography is her first...
I'm so proud of you for reading it. Well done.
I really...
You're a real champion. You're like a proper, decent,
thorough
researcher.
I need to get my facts straight before then, you know, I start bringing in judgment. But her first introduction to black people, because she grew up out in the outskirts of America, it was this white town, was when her parents were going through financial difficulty. And so they thought, shucks, how will we get money quickly? Ah, let's foster black kids. In that way, we'll get money from the government we're foster parents. So her parents ended up getting like 3 or 4 black kids. And because her parents didn't really care for these kids, apart from just getting the money, she then took care of them and felt bad for them. And that's when she says, oh my gosh, no, I'm more connected to my black siblings than I am to my parents. So yes, I are down with the people.
Wow. Timing is everything here.
It's great.
Do you remember the days when nobody wanted to be black?
You know,
timing is everything,
yeah,
Baba.
Girl, yeah, exactly.
You want to be black in the plantation.
Now it's like,
I saw such a funny cartoon the other day. I saw like two scientists. It's a cartoon of these two guys, and one of them's black and one of them's white. And the white scientist says, yes, we did it. We built a time machine. Where do you want to go back in the past? And the black guy's like, no, I'm fine here.
No, no, like, no.
I don't wanna go nowhere.
Like, no time in the past works for me. Thank you.
That is so true. Yeah,
yeah. All right.
Don't
what else
me.
Is in the news?
Okay, so let's look at this this story coming out of Sweden that has now approved this new law which recognizes sex without consent as rape.
Uh-oh.
So the new law, due to come into effect on the 1st of July, says a person must give clear consent, verbal or physical. Prosecutors will no longer need to prove violence or that the victim was in a vulnerable situation in order to establish rape. This is important. So activists have welcomed the changes, but the critics say the law will not increase the number of, the law will not increase the number of rape convictions. And with the new legislation, which was approved in Parliament, Sweden joins other European countries like the United Kingdom and Germany, where sex without consent is immediate rape. So this is nothing new, actually, and it seems to be spreading.
Yeah, look, what's your definition of rape? Rape is like a woman doesn't want to and you force yourself on her, right?
Well, if she doesn't want to, then that's consent not given.
Right, and that is the definition of rape. That's how the courts test it. Was there consent? If there was consent, can't be rape.
So what this new law says is that it says the lack of consent is enough to constitute a crime. It is based on the obvious sex must be voluntary. This is according to the government. When the legislation was proposed. So, yeah, it must be voluntary. Everybody must want to.
But how's Ben's story about how in California, at every stage of any sexual engagement with someone, you have to keep asking for permission? No, I mean, that doesn't sound like the hardest thing in the world to do. I mean, like, do you want this? Is that okay? Does this feel good? I mean, that's kind of, we should all be doing that in sex anyway if we care about our partner's feelings.
No.
No?
Oh, no. That's just personally me. No.
You have a safe word, Sia?
No, I just don't want to hear from you because right now I'm picturing Channing Tatum, not you. Oh, so right. That's why.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, in an ideal world, you could both start making out and then the foreplay kicks in. And then, you know, something happens. And then you hear, actually, no, I don't want to. Now, in an ideal world, when that happens, you should just stop and say, oh, sorry, you don't want to anymore. Put your clothes back on, keep it moving. But this is where then it becomes gray is, you know, people say, no, I've changed my mind, I don't want to. And then it's just, ah, no, come on. Like, we're doing this anyway.
Guys, at the risk of sounding controversial, but I think this is the step needed to take this conversation further. A country like Sweden has had an influx or an increase in rape in the last 10 years, right? Yep.
There's been an influx of illegal immigrants.
People coming from a variety of countries throughout Europe who might not have such sort of subtlety to social behaviors, understanding of women's rights, politeness, that kind of stuff. No. So a lot of this law, I think, is coming through is because it's very much like going back to basics.
So in other words,
just go and rape and do things.
I get what you're saying. Like there are different sort of interpretations of relations between men and women across the world. Sweden's always been pretty nice and, would you like to have sex with me? And then Thor and Agneta go down around the corner and then they go to Thor's place or Agneta's place and then they have quite bland Scandinavian style sex. And then, you know, that's the evening. And because it's a very permissive society, Thor goes home to Ingvar or whoever else, and Agneta goes and spends the rest of the night with her friend Astrid, and everybody's happy. But this is not how it happens in some places. And, you know, there's issues of religion and monogamy and all kinds of other interesting stuff. I watched that thing that Ben told me about. Was it yesterday or the day before? Ben told me about this brilliant show called Explained. And I go into monogamy, which we'll talk about on Monday. I want to do it properly. I've got some little clips and everything I'll play for.
Yeah, it's a new Netflix show. Basically, there's a YouTube channel that I watch called Vox, and they've been asked to make a series for Netflix. Mm-hmm. And the first episode of the series is actually on YouTube. So on the Vox, it's just Explained, and the episode is monogamy.
It's very cool. Anyway, the point that I was getting to is, and that I think Ben was making too, is that you have to make rules where perhaps before you didn't have to make rules. So some people need it explained to them in basics. Like, you can't just have sex with any woman that you see.
Yeah, just because that woman has said, hi, how are you today, does not mean that's sex.
Right.
That's just pleasantries and normal culture.
Well, in California, we've got this rule about every step of the way, you have to be asking for permission. Maybe that's not such a bad idea.
Well, of course, that was also brought on by the whole college rape kind of thing as well. Mm. You know, that in recent years there's been an outbreak and all that kind of stuff.
But I think as a guy, if you want to protect yourself, you actually need to have a form that is signed, and you need to record a video message of both of you giving permission, and you store it for like 8 years afterwards, and then you can delete it.
This is sad.
No, really. I think it's the only way to protect yourself. And if you're a girl, you should do the same. Because next thing we know, we're going to have men saying that women raped them. And we've heard cases like that before. Yeah. So let's keep evidence on each other.
So this is basically the new ice bucket challenge. It's the consent challenge. You've got to post your consent.
Well, you don't have to. I think you'd keep it private.
No, please don't post it on social media because I see it heading that way.
Can you imagine guys like, oh yeah, I do tell you Nelda, let's see the consent video. But let's see it.
If you don't have a consent video, you're a rapist.
Yeah.
Because that will happen. It's guaranteed that that's the next layer of this. By the way, I had someone, delightful person, send me a message yesterday. Let me read this to you, Mubs. This is so sweet.
You've been receiving quite a lot of messages this week, Gareth.
Such a sweet message from someone.
Why do your phones all have pimples?
A number in Malaysia. And read that nice message.
I will find you and I will rape you.
Isn't that nice?
I'm sorry, I don't...
It's from a number in Malaysia, someone who didn't like something I said or whatever. But then here's an interesting one. Because this is from...
That's your direct... So someone had you...
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Here, listen to this one quickly. This is great. Hey, Gareth, I hope I find you unwell. Let me get to the point here. I'm sure you've been receiving a wave of hate which you deserve. This is about like comments around Israel and Palestine. Blah, 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 blah. They go through it. Good luck trying to counter that move. I hope you see their victory in your lifetime. I hope you witness the demise of the cold-hearted Israelis. Blah, blah, blah. You've chosen the side of the blatant assassins. And then she finishes with this. I wish worse upon you. And I also hope Somizi rapes you while you're asleep. And that's from a woman who puts this up as her profile picture, her and her little daughter. Mm. You've got to think to yourself, well, you know what? Rape's obviously not such a big deal in some societies.
Yeah,
because they want Somizi to rape me while I sleep. So I said, you know, nothing and deleted it. But I said to myself.
It's also a massive incentive to Somizi.
Poor Somizi just probably doesn't want me.
Why are you dragging him into this? Exactly. He likes consensual sex.
Right. Yeah. Of course he does. And... it's just, there's so much, like, hatred. There's in that sentence, and this is a mom of a daughter. I don't know who this is. I don't know her number. Mm. There's a picture of her hugging her little daughter, and you're like, you're such a hateful human being. You're going to raise a little girl to be as hateful as you are. And all, by the way, the only reason I'm hated enough for her to spend a couple of minutes of her day yesterday typing up this message and sending it to me is because I had an opinion. And it's not even one of the opinions that I think about all the time. It's not even a story that comes up in my life all the time. I'm not waking up in the morning and thinking about Israel and Palestine. And I'm not going to sleep at night thinking about that. But clearly it consumes her to the point where she's willing to say such horrible things to a complete stranger. And raise a daughter in a house that thinks like that. See why I don't have kids? Because my kids would go to school with that little bitch. And they'd be constantly locked in this situation where all she wants to do is spread the hatred she's learned from her parents. It's like racists. It's the same thing. People who are raising their kids to hate black people, and they send them to a school where they're black people, and the black kids are like, hey, Johnny. And the kid's like, I'm not talking to you. You're black. Horrible people. Horrible, horrible people in the world.
In the aftermath of this whole thing about having an opinion about Israel, the comments that are coming through are just... you know, even on the Gareth Cliff Show page on Instagram, reading through some, and you can't engage because these are very unreasonable people. The depth of stupidity and hypocrisy.
No, well, look.
Lack of eye.
Here's a message. Now, you see, some people have sent me screenshots. You know, I've got Muslim friends who obviously I'm also, you know, these are people I have discussions with all the time. So here's what happens is they send... there's this network of, it's a small network of people. It's like 20 or 30 people. But what they do is they send around the contact number for WhatsApping us here at Cliff Central. Mm. And it says Gareth Cliff Radio Station. So they don't even know that we're not on radio. and they go, this is Gareth Cliff radio WhatsApp number. You know what to do. Please share and send him a message, dot, 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 the idiot. So it's not even real outrage. It's manufactured and engineered, and it's just so sad that this is what people have to do to get their message out there. And by the way, if you're going to convince people that you've got a point and that you're right and that they've got it all wrong, you don't go around calling them idiots and bombarding them with propaganda and bullshit. I mean, people have the internet. We can find other stories. Be respectful, and then you might get a really interesting reply. There was one yesterday. Someone replied to me. Someone sent me a message, and it was polite, so I replied.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what I said. Where is it? I think it's on Instagram. I said, thank you. Thank you for, you know, a totally different point of view, totally different opinion. I said, thanks. Be happy to talk. Here's my email address. Let's carry on this conversation. Totally opposed to my point of view, blah, blah, blah. 100%. Let's talk. You could be raped by some easy while you're asleep. I mean, poor some easy.
Yes, I've also
have to go through that ordeal.
I've also seen a few calls that you must be fired. That's interesting. Yeah. Seeing as
people who think I still work. 5FM had to release some kind of tweet yesterday saying I haven't worked there for 4 years. You know,
really?
If you're that out of touch, yeah. If you're that out of touch, I mean, how much news that you're going to pass on to me am I going to take seriously? Anyway, let's move on. It's not important enough. What else is in the news?
Well, apparently there are a couple of things, in fact, more than a couple of things, that when you say in a job interview setting could come back to bite you if you are really looking to put your name on the dotted line of the new job offer.
Oh.
These comments could come back to bite you if you say them before your job offer is signed.
Ooh.
So let's go through this compiled list. Obviously, they asked, you know, a whole bunch of, I don't know, recruiters, whatever.
HR not. People.
Like, yeah, they asked a whole bunch of people for their thoughts and opinions. And here's the list of things that could come back to bite you. So the first one, I really need this job because I really need the money. Never say you really need this job because it makes you look desperate. Uh-huh. Rather tell the interviewer why they need you instead. Second, never talk about financial issues because it puts you in a very bad negotiation place. If you're rich, you don't really need the money and their starting offer will be much lower than you deserve. If you're broke, you will probably take anything that you can get. So they say that, you know, just be careful when talking about the zero amounts because it's all a negotiation dance, right? And mm-hmm. the employer obviously is always going to be looking to, you know,
pay as little as possible.
Pay as little as possible.
And you're going to be looking to get as much as possible.
Sure.
And you know what they always say? They say if both parties walk out of a negotiation unhappy, mm-hmm. it's been a great negotiation.
Yeah.
If one party walks out happy, you know that the other party's been screwed.
Yeah.
Oh.
The second bad thing to say, I'm excited for this job because it's close to my house. If you say this, you're giving away that working closer to your home is an important factor for you, which will make for another great reason to lower your starting salary, apparently. Also, the third thing, my partner and I are trying to get pregnant or to adopt, basically just the involvement of children. You are not having a child yet, so don't create a possible issue that isn't there yet. Discussing your family plan is known as a factor for possible discrimination. So only share this information after you get the job and only at a point in time where your employer absolutely needs to know.
Right.
The fourth thing, if I work here, I will need some time off.
Time off for what, girl?
Oh, man.
Hey, man, people take days off when their pets get sick. It's crazy out here. So you can talk about vacation days or flexibility once you're sorting the details of your contract and when the deal is already done. Anything unexpected can happen at any moment, so keep this information on the down low.
Yes.
Your employer doesn't need to know about your, you know, how unreliable you're about to become for him.
I'm going to need a lot of time
I'm
off.
I'm going to need a lot of time
Jeez.
Off.
Something I've always wanted to say, if I would ever get employed again, I would love to use the line, I think I heard in a movie, I think it was Ted. It's like, yeah, I don't work on my birthday.
Like, oh.
Because that's kind of cocky, but also it's not overly unreasonable.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I always take
my birthday off.
All right, that's fine. I think that's, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, yeah, all right, that's cool. We can talk about that.
But take an official day off, apply for leave, and sure. That's fine. I'm not paying for that.
Jeez, you'd be a horrible employer, see.
I'm just thinking about the bottom line.
So a lot of times, you know, in the interview situation, you're trying to impress or to put your best foot forward. And so you say things like, of all the jobs I'm being considered for, this is the one I really want. Now, stating this also takes away your power in any negotiation because now they know that they've got you backed in a corner. Don't show your weaknesses before you've even been hired.
Oh.
They should be the ones making sacrifices to get you and not the other way around. Plus, this also comes across as a little bit too desperate.
Yeah, you see, we make a lot of missteps when we're going for a job. We don't think it through from their point of view and from ours, and sometimes you give away too much, and sometimes you don't tell them enough. You got to be careful. It's a bit of a dance.
You got to play your cards right.
It's definitely all a dance.
I do believe in a little emotion, though.
So, listen to this quickly. I got this from my mom, of all people. Just take a listen. They created a job, a fake job.
Sure. Sorry.
Listen to this.
Uh-huh.
And then they interviewed people, and this is what they said to them in the job interviews, all right? Listen.
Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
that. Oi.
So the fake job, and posted it online and in newspapers, and then they had real interviews with people.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot. For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable.
Okay.
Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's cute, right? I mean, it's cute, but if you think about
it,
that's the mom's job description, right? That's kind of what the mom has to do every day and every other day and for many years. So it's just, I thought that was kind of sweet.
Ooh, your mom wanted a little...
I know, she was and she didn't even get a present.
You asshole!
Nah, please. We're all adults.
You are a sick...
I'm not, I don't...
No, Gareth.
Please.
Step outside of yourself for once and do something extra special for her.
All right, you're often right. Fine, okay.
Yeah.
All right, back to the news.
So I don't know if you remember the story about a woman who accused her husband of trying to kill her because he had tampered with her parachute.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's, what?
Yes. The story actually made headlines a few months ago. But a British Army sergeant originally from South Africa was yesterday found guilty of attempting to murder his wife, not once but twice. First he tampered with her parachute, and then he caused a gas leak at their home.
Hmm.
So the jury at Winchester Crown Court in southern England heard that Emil Silliers, who's 38, loosened a gas valve at his home in March 2015, hoping his wife Victoria would turn on the cooker, and then that would be the end of her.
Oh, my God.
The couple also have two young children who were in the house at the time, but the attempt failed. Then, less than a week later, the victim suffered severe injuries to her spine, leg, and ribs after miraculously surviving a fall from 1,200 meters when her parachute failed.
Whew.
Silliers had taken the chute into a toilet cubicle at the airfield. He sabotaged it, causing both the main and reserve chutes to fail. So yesterday the courts were like, okay, buddy.
You're a horrible person.
You are a horrible person. And I don't know, Victoria, I'm thinking, you know, a divorce is completely...
Yeah, Victoria. Like, hey, hey, Victoria.
Completely acceptable, Victoria, in your circumstance.
He's not that into you.
Jeepers, guys. Jeez.
I mean, listen, when you're not in love with someone anymore, or you actually start to actively hate them, it's time to get out of the marriage.
Can you imagine how chilling it must be to discover after the fact that your partner was trying to kill you? Frightening.
I don't know. Yeah, it's mad. It's madness. There's some people, huh? All right, George is on Skype. Hey, George, what's up, dude?
How's it, Gareth? How are you?
Nice to talk to you. George Meany, and it's time for our little update. You've been all over the world. Where were you last week?
I was in Spain, but you know what my iPhone's doing? It's streaming your app and Skype at the same time. Just hang on a second. Let me switch this app off. There we go.
All right. There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, loud and clear. All right. Very nice.
I had you in my left ear on your app and Skype in my right ear.
Well, you can multitask. I've seen you do it. So, George, are you driving at the moment, or have you pulled over to the side of the road?
I'm about to pull over to the side of the road, but I've got my headset in, so I'm all right.
All right. So what do you want to talk to us about today? It is Friday.
Yeah, so I was in Spain last week, and today I'm on my way to the bike show, or the bike fest, should I call it.
Right.
This bike fest, and, you know, we're very, very thrilled to be part of it. We're the headline sponsor, and it's become the annual event when it comes to bikes. So that's where I'm on my way to now.
Where is it?
It's at Kyalami.
Cool.
And it's happening all weekend. Today's day one, and we're having a bike summit today, which we tried to put together to try and understand what the challenges are that are causing people not to commute to work using their bike.
Right.
Or not buying a bike for commuting. And we think we have the answer from some research that we've done, but this morning we'll be telling. We've had 200 RSVPs, so the room is going to be packed.
Sure. That sounds amazing. All right, but first tell us about Spain. What did you get up to over there? What was the reason that your trip happened? Was it a holiday or was it work?
I wish it was a holiday, but no, it was work. Absolutely beautiful place. The weather is... Went to a little place called Malaga.
Yes.
And the weather is beautiful during the day, cold at night, much like Johannesburg in winter.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot hotter in the day, and cold at night. And it was a business conference. All the leaders of Auto Trader and the OLX Group got together, and we shared knowledge.
That's fantastic. Were there any interesting new sort of thoughts and ideas coming in from cars and people who have to sell cars and people in the business of building new models and kind of finding new strategies? What was the most interesting part for you?
The most interesting part for me was that the markets around the world aren't that different. The stages of at which those markets are at is where the difference lies. But right. Most markets in classifieds seem to navigate down a similar path, with little nuances. But the only difference is there are different stages. So the biggest takeaway for me was if you deploy a product that is in a first world country in South Africa, for instance, a tech product too early in South Africa, you could lose by just purely by virtue of it's too early.
Yeah,
So timing is important.
Yeah, I suppose infrastructural concerns and all that kind of thing are also part of it, right?
Exactly.
All right.
But onto the world of cars. I'm sure nobody missed the royal wedding on the weekend.
Well, I saw a horse and cart, and I thought of you, George.
Did you?
I thought. Well, you know, we talk about horsepower and we talk about how things have changed. And I thought, well, some people still use the horse and cart. Look at that, Meghan and Prince Harry. And they really could have had any car they liked. But they did drive away from the castle to the reception in some kind of like Jaguar electric car. Am I right?
Yep, and that's exactly what I want to talk about, is this Jaguar E-Type. It's called a Jaguar E-Type Concept Zero,
yeah.
Which is a car built in 50 years ago, 1968, has been converted to a full electric car. So what was interesting for me is that they took the traditional and the old and they combined it with the modern, and that was a full electric car, believe it or not.
That's amazing. I mean, she looked pretty good in it, I got to say.
Well, she does. Believe it or not, we have a doppelganger in Auto Trader that looks exactly like Meghan Markle.
You should dress her up as a princess every week. I tell you what, sales would skyrocket. Get her driving around Johannesburg and Cape Town and Durban and all over the place and just have her wave at people.
In a horse and cart.
Yeah, why not?
I'll get her permission to tweet a photograph, and then we'll see. You can give me your opinion on whether she's a doppelganger, but we think she's a doppelganger.
Let's have a look. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Next thing is Ayrton Senna. Everybody knows who Ayrton Senna is. Mm-hmm. Well, McLaren created a car called the McLaren Senna.
Oh.
And Ayrton Senna has taken this car around the track at breakneck speeds, and it's one of the first times a Senna is driving a car with the name Senna on the badge.
That sounds very cool. I think there are a lot of people who would like to buy that. I saw, what was it, that thing that I saw last night? I think it was a Pagani. I don't know what the hell it is. Some very, very rare, very expensive car. I thought of you because I thought they're probably collectors who would go around and snap up things like the Senna McLaren faster than I mean they'll part with a couple of million dollars to get that, right?
Absolutely. I think cars like that are the last standing investments in cars, because I mean, as you know, you can buy a Porsche, even some Lamborghinis, and you don't stand a chance of increasing its value. But it's where those niche kind of limited editions lie, where they become investments.
Well, that sounds very good. What else you got for us?
Well, Tesla has ramped up production, as you may know. They were struggling. They've ramped up production. They've managed to get the factory up and running again. They've gone back to the concept of using human beings instead of trying to automate the entire factory. That was their biggest mistake. Mm-hmm. But while they've been getting all of this wrong, Mercedes-Benz has been working tirelessly in the background to create a compact electric car to compete with the Model 3. And this little Mercedes-Benz is part of their EQA concept. I think that this car may just pip Tesla to the post. And they say they want to have 10 electric vehicles on the road by 2022 under their EQ sub-brand.
I'm looking at it right now. The concept EQA, it looks damn good.
A really nice car.
Yeah.
Really nice car.
That's a beautiful.
And they've invested $589 million to get this project on the go.
Well, who do you reckon? I mean, because BMW brought out their electric cars, right?
Yep.
And Tesla's obviously the other one, and now you say Mercedes. I mean, is there any reason that we should believe any one of these would have an advantage over the others?
I think it's anybody's race still, Gareth. Tesla is like the iPhone or like Apple. It's a sexy kind of, you know, you want to have it to be seen in the brand. Mm-hmm. Whereas there are many more hundreds of thousands of BMW and Mercedes loyalists. I think the German brands may win out just because of their investments. I mean, you're not seeing stories like this out of Toyota or the other brands. Although I must kind of hold myself back because Nissan Leaf has really made a big difference.
All right, very good. Anything else?
No, that's it in the world of motoring.
Good luck
shortly.
Good luck at the Bike Fest. And if anyone wants to go, it's at Kyalami, and you can go in and see everything in South Africa to do with bikes.
We've even got a gyrocopter that has landed at the Bike Fest on show.
I want to see that. All right, there we go. So enjoy, George. I know you've got work to do there. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, Gareth.
Awesome. George Meany, the CEO of Auto Trader. Don't forget, Auto Central is on cliffcentral.com Mondays at 9 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. All right, Ben, you've got a bathroom at home, don't you, Ben?
Three, Gareth.
Yes, that's right, because you have one, Daniela has one, and then there's one for the guests.
Yes.
So that neither of you ever have to see each other doing outrageous and revolting things in the bathroom.
Yeah, three toilets dedicated for certain purposes.
That is why you two have a happy relationship. It's among the best. I've never met a couple who had one bathroom to share that always got along as well as couples who can separate that function. So, besides that, you need to probably put some interesting things to make your bathroom a little bit healthier and better and more exciting and greener and more lovely. And to help you do that, Lifestyle Home Garden have come up with some ideas. Do you want to hear them? Yeah, all right, Sia, you need these as well. Practical ideas for plants to put in your bathroom. Well, it's a humid environment. It's warm, right? You've got hot baths, showers. It's often one of the coldest rooms in the house when you're not busy using the bathroom or the shower, though. Combined with the fact that most bathrooms have small windows, low light conditions, it creates an environment in which only certain plants can survive. Don't go put anything in there and think it's going to work. Shower plants have recently become a thing, and it's not surprising, because who wouldn't love to shower beneath an indoor canopy of greenery and do their business in nature? You wouldn't, Sia? I'd love to shower with like plants above the shower head, like a ceiling of greenery. That would be amazing. There are many plants that can easily cope in the bathroom and will turn your bathroom into a lush green environment that you've always wanted. There's something called Sansevieria trifasciata, mother-in-law's tongue.
Oh, that's the one we
have over here in the studio. There's these things, right? They showcase simplistic modern lines, lovely variegated patterns on the leaves, which make it a very popular choice for any contemporary bathroom. The plant will thrive in any light conditions, and it'll need very little, if any, watering in the humid setting of the bathroom. Sansevieria also has been found to be extremely efficient in absorbing toxins from the air, which refers to funny smells and particles, too, that you might find in the bathroom. Then there's the Spatophyllum, which is otherwise known as a peace lily. These, you've seen them. They're a very well-known indoor plant, man. I've got some all over my house as well. They have slender white flowers, and they've got elegant, long, dark, glossy leaves. The indoor plant could tolerate low light and enjoys natural humidity, making a position next to a steamy shower perfect for it to flourish. It's important to keep the soil moist, making a bathroom space ideal in providing the necessary environment. Additionally, a Spatophyllum is the excellent air purifier that you've been looking for, and also helps to remove mold spores. Mold spores. Also, air plants are another favorite for the bathroom space. They obtain their moisture from the air, and they don't need any soil to grow. Makes it a moist bathroom environment, perfect for the greenery that you're looking for an indoor plant. And attach them to bottle corks. That's interesting. And hang them on a wall space, or use wire and attach them to rails, window bars, shelves, cupboards, whatever. They've got all this equipment, by the way, at Lifestyle Home Garden. Go and see. These indoor plants enjoy brighter light, and you can take a bath with them. You can submerge them in water for a few minutes and then hang them back up. And that's all the water they need. Because of the high humidity in bathrooms, care has to be taken not to overwater your plants. So test the soil before watering, especially during cooler months, and stick your finger into the pot. If the soil is moist, do not water. Only water when you feel it's completely dry. You can visit the Lifestyle blog on their website for a list of plants that will work really well in your bathroom space and see why these plants are so beneficial. You can also transform your bathroom into a living oasis by adding some humidity-loving air and purifying, loving and air purifying indoor plants. Next week, we'll be talking about watering your plants, the best practices, and how to know when and how much to water. So if you want to turn your house into your haven, choose your lifestyle with Lifestyle Home Garden. And you can always go and visit them. They're in Randburg. They're on the corner of, which one is it?
Oh, Eesterhout.
Eesterhout and?
Oh.
Come on, it's a major thoroughfare. Beyers Nordiers.
Thank you. We were eventually going reach that point.
Speaking of moisture, Cape Town is getting all the rain it ever wanted, huh?
Oh, man.
Have you heard about this? Isn't this nice? This is an actual... Someone sent me a video. This is all that rain and wind. It's pissing down in Cape Town. In fact, a friend of mine posted a video of the waterfalls on Table Mountain after a big downpour yesterday. All this water cascading off the mountain. Beautiful.
Wow.
So there we go. Something cool happening in the Cape. Also, don't forget, Friday the 25th of May, that's today, is Tacky Tax Day, a day to stand together and protect the vulnerable. Choose your sticker, glitter up your tackies with our funky new shoelaces. Get it at participating welfare organizations or online at tackytax.org. Come on, leave a sparkle. Wear your tackies. International Tacky Tax Day. Look, see, I'm wearing mine.
Always good.
Friday, 25 May. Yep. All right, everybody. Have a happy day. Keep it on cliffcentral.com. We will see you on Monday. You ready for a good weekend?
Oh, always.
I hope so. All right. Thank you very much for joining us this morning and have an excellent time. Be good. Lots of love. Blah, blah, blah. We'll see you Monday.
This is CliffCentral.com.